Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome to How Did This Get Played? Premium DLC. I am Nick Weiger, alongside Heather Ann Campbell, metaphorically.
Hi,
alongside.
What? Huh? What'd you say?
I said metaphorically alongside.
We're not. Oh yeah, metaphorically.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Heather Ann Campbell, metaphorically alongside Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
We're doing it.
Are you guys ready for this one? Are you fucking ready for this one?
I'm freaking ready.
I've rarely been less ready, but I am. I'm excited to talk about this because this is a fucking bananas.
Well, I'm concerned that we're going to receive a cease and desist. But I think we should just plow ahead. I think we should just give them what they want.
I mean, I don't think. Look, anyone can talk about a bad movie. I think that's fair game. We're allowed to do this. This is within our rights as human beings.
It's our right.
100%.
It's our freedom of speech.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, free speech.
Yes. I'm not. I oppose free speech, but I think that it protects us in this case, and the law is on our side. And hey, the reason we are talking in these terms is because we are talking about a hot topic. Or at least was a hot topic back in 1993. The film Super Mario Brothers, the only live-action Nintendo film outside of Pokemon Detective Pikachu. That's it. Super Mario Brothers,
wow.
And then they shut it down for 25 years before trying again with Detective Pikachu, which I loved. You guys like Detective Pikachu?
I did love it. And
loved it. I thought it was great.
I learned a little insider info about Detective Pikachu, which was that the reason Detective Pikachu exists is it was proof of concept for the studio to
wow.
Nintendo for a Pokemon movie.
Wow.
And if it did, you know, gonzo business and didn't ruin or tarnish the brand in any way, then they were going to move forward with a Pokemon movie with the same people involved. But as we all know, it did not set the box office on fire. Did great. It was
a hit,
but it wasn't like representative of the strength of the Pokemon brand, especially when you consider that Sonic the fucking Hedgehog beat it in the
Did
box
it really?
Office. Yo,
Did
yeah.
Really?
The most successful video game movie of all time is now Sonic the Hedgehog.
Detective Pikachu was so good. I thought it was, I guess it's probably the thing of people were like, what is Detective Pikachu? That extra layer probably was just enough to make people think it was a weird movie that they were maybe a little skittish about seeing theatrically. But I thought it was fantastic. Contra, the film we are discussing today. So Super Mario Brothers, the film was co-directed by Rocky Morton and Annabelle Jankel. And it had a number of credited writers, one of whom was Ed Solomon. Ed Solomon has a lot of things he's worked on that have turned out great. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, Men in Black. He's got some real credits. But, you know, this was one of those ones where I feel like it probably got, it went through so many passes by so many writers and so credited and uncredited, and then also got probably so many notes from the studio, and is just this big, ugly glop of a film. but had you guys, so I hadn't seen this film since VHS. Heather, I know you're very, very familiar with this movie.
Yeah, I have seen it a lot. Yes. And that being said, when this movie enters your brain, it immediately passes beyond your cerebellum and right out the back of your head. It's like it's like you're taking in a movie that you cannot see or watch.
And I should note that you're maybe listening to this podcast where, you know, almost 5 minutes in and you're like, what do you get this guy? They're talking about movies. What is this movie? This is a movie podcast. Am I? No. Did I subscribe to the wrong? How did this get? But the the truth is, this is a video game podcast. Yes, but we are doing a video game based movie. This is the first edition of a premium DLC concept we are doing called The Game Was Better. So we are reviewing a movie that is based off of a video game where we prefer the game, which pretty much encompasses all of them, I would say. Is there any video game movie where you're like, the movie is better than the game?
I've seen quite a few of them.
I can't think of one. I've seen more like ones that even that I like Mortal Kombat. It's still like, I'd still rather have the game Mortal Kombat than watch this film.
What about Rampage?
Rampage is crazy.
There's Rampage, a case the for movie Rampage.
Is crazy, but the game is repetitive and kind of boring. And so, like, arguably, we couldn't do an episode on Rampage because I'd be at least one of three dissenters on the opinion.
I think I can say this. I met for the Rampage movie, like, fucking, like, 11 years ago or something like that. And I was like, that's a great idea because that just is, it's already, it's the game is based off of a movie concept that works. So now you're just taking this license that you have and now you can make it into a fucking movie. But like, here's my whole issue. The whole thing in Rampage is that it's human beings turning into giant monsters.
Yes.
And then you get the hilarious thing where they're naked walking around covering their bodies. You don't get that in the movie.
That's is that what you went into the meeting with? Because if so, I understand why you didn't get hired. You're just
I was like, look, this children's movie has to be filled with naked adults covering their breasts and genitals. And they escorted me out quickly. But I thought, like, I was like, that is a it's to me. Yes, I think there's a case for Rampage, the movie, because the game is pretty thin. But I do feel like that was a movie that should have been a home run anyway. So this, staying in baseball terms, this is a big time whiff of a film. Super Mario Brothers was, and this is a thing I saw on Wikipedia that I just thought was interesting. I'll just read this verbatim. This is a quote. The screenwriters envisioned the film as a subversive comedy with a weird and dark tone similar to Ghostbusters. And that definitely bleeds through as you're watching this. It's a dark movie. And honestly, I feel like I saw this when I was old enough to not be scared by it. But I feel like if I saw this when I was like 6 or 7 or 8, I'd be like, I'd have the shit scared out of me by this. It's so dark and creepy. You've got human beings turning into monsters. And goop at one point, you've got like you've got all these weird looking, like the Goombas look fucking horrifying. The Goombas look
awful.
They look like absolute shit. They've got these gigantic broad shoulders and these tiny little softball heads, and then they're covered with a scaly texture that is just repulsive creatures that I feel like would scare the shit out of me if I was a youngster.
I'm gonna send live here on the podcast. I'm gonna send you guys a website, and the website is the internet's most thorough Super Mario Brothers the movie repository.
Wow.
So it lists every deleted scene. Some of the deleted scenes are on this website. It's smbmovie.com, which I've been going to infrequently over the last few years. It also has props. It has props for sale. It has breakdowns of different drafts of the script. It's a robust but archaic. The website itself looks like it was designed in like 1999.
It's funny because, yeah, it looks very, very old, very frozen in time in the Angel Fire / GeoCities era of web design, except it's been updated as recently as August 15th, 2019. Yes. So they're still making regular updates to this site. So I guess the way the big thing here, the big swing they take here is they set it in like real life, like actual Brooklyn. I don't mean it's Brooklyn.
It's Super Mario Brothers. Right
here.
Hey,
I'm walking here on my way to get a slice.
Do you think that they did that because of the Super Mario Brothers animated show?
Yeah, where the Super Mario Brothers Super Show
lived in Brooklyn.
I think there's a good chance they did that. I think that's also just production wise. It's just like we don't have to build this whole fantasy world, this Mushroom Kingdom. But also, I think there's a tendency, and you saw this even with Sonic, which we mentioned, to have these films be the video game world is crossing over into our world.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd say a lot of children's adaptations do that, a lot of animated adaptations. The movie that I think is closest to this, and I think is a much better, much more watchable film, much more satisfactory from a fan service standpoint, is the He-Man film Masters of the Universe, which has Dolph Lundgren as He-Man and has a similar plot of the Masters of the Universe characters come to our world to try to find the fucking cosmic key or some shit.
I got a bone to pick with you on this, Weiger. I don't think the Super Mario Brothers movie is about them coming to our world. It's us. It's humans going to their world.
Yes, you're right. A connection of the two worlds. That's what that, yes.
We spend most of the movie in Dino Hatton, which is Bowser, acted by Dennis Hopper. It's Bowser's kingdom, which he has taken over from the former king, who is made out of mushrooms. He's a fungus. And they've devolved the former king. But there's so much to talk about in this fucking movie. There's so much.
It's how this is my issue, is that they, their way of integrating the things that we know from Mario, the way we know from the Mario universe, are so unsatisfactory and so many steps removed from what we know. Like, there is ultimately like a super mushroom joke, but the main way you're seeing mushrooms is what you said, Heather, which is that the Daisy's father, the character of Daisy's father, has been turned into a big fungus mushroom like creature who is just like, it's just gross to look at. I guess I don't want to I want to root for this fucking weird fucking mold that's everywhere. I don't want that. I'm not on this thing's side.
Well, so if I'm going to try and summarize the entire plot of Super Mario Brothers, the movie, in like two sentences, maybe three.
Wow.
All right.
Kay. Yes.
In Brooklyn, a girl named Daisy is actually the daughter of King Koopa from the Mushroom Kingdom, left on the steps of an orphanage when she was a child. But now, in the modern day, she's being sucked back into the Mushroom Kingdom against her will, where she is going to inherit the throne of King Koopa. But Mario and Luigi enter after her to save her from this nightmare world where King Koopa has designed a new technology that devolves human beings and reptiles. Because in his kingdom, humans evolved from dinosaurs.
Yes.
But in our kingdom, they evolved from monkeys.
That's right.
And he's going to use this new technology to take over both the Mushroom Kingdom and Brooklyn, which he does by crossing over and reenacting 9/11.
Yes, that's a key plot point. More seeding the idea for 9/11, because this predated it by several years.
The craziest thing about that description is that it sounds nuts, but that all of that is true.
All like, of that is true.
Every single thing you said is true.
So Daisy, that's the character who's left off in an orphanage. That was the thing that I It, like, watching that opening scene, because I'd forgotten so much of this film, having not seen it for probably 20 years. And the, like, I was, you had to get a we had to use a VPN to watch this on Japanese Netflix. There's, it's not streaming anywhere on any US service or even available for, like, rental. So I was watching it on Japanese Netflix, and I'm watching the scene where this, like, this little, I think an egg, I think she's in a fucking egg, is dropped off at the orphanage.
Yeah.
And I was just, like, texting you guys, like, I forgot this movie immediately sucks. Like, it's just right away, you're like, oh, this is fucking terrible.
Well, there it starts with that animation of the dinosaurs, the talking Brooklyn-ass dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's supposed to be, I guess, like a pixel art thing.
Yeah.
Kind of. It's kind of got that filter to it.
I have a theory on that, on the opening scene, which is the cartoon, which is that it was added very late in production.
Oh, 100%.
Sure, I can buy that.
Because it is tonally extremely different from the rest of the movie. You open with a cartoon explaining the history of the Mushroom Kingdom and how some of the dinosaurs survived the meteor impact and were splintered off into a separate multiverse where the dinosaurs evolved into people, but it's told like a cartoon. I think the original opening scene in this movie was fucking Daisy as an egg smuggled into the real world.
That makes sense, because it's kind of like a little preamble to what is effectively a cold open. And I think they probably added that to try to make the story make any sense at all, which it makes very little of. It's also, you spend so much of the early part of it. Here's another issue. So I mentioned that all the way that the lore you know from Mario is integrated is not satisfying. You know, one way is that King Koopa is just a man. He's just Dennis Hopper,
yeah,
doing the best he can, but he's just a man for 90% of the movie. The mushroom thing I mentioned. Another thing is when you get to Dino Hatton in the Metropolis NYC analog in the Mushroom Kingdom, there is a toad character who is a man with a spiral haircut like on his head, which I guess is meant to replicate a fucking like toadstool. Like a mushroom cap, but it looks fucking gross. And then he's like turned into a Goomba in short order. The actor, by the way, who plays Toad in Super Mario Brothers, his name is Mojo Nixon, which I love.
Wow.
And then one of his credits shortly after Super Mario Brothers was in the film Butt Crack playing Preacher Man Bob. So there you go.
Guys, I've got a live update right here. While you were telling us a little bit about that actor, I went ahead and looked up some background on that animated dinosaur prologue.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I have confirmed that according to smbmovie.com, the dinosaur prologue was the final addition to the movie during the post-production process. According to Parker, the producers had held screenings of the film that left the audiences confused. In order to avoid theatrical frustration, they opted to add the prologue to the beginning of the film to simply spell it out. The prologue never existed in any of the scripts. Rather, the film was meant to start on a primordial setting complete with realistic dinosaurs before a meteorite catastrophically obliterated the landscape. A brief portion of this original opening can be seen at the end of the animated sequence.
So this was an era in video game movies, and that like the way you're describing it and what you're talking about dinosaurs, which is such a big theme in this movie, is all the shit about dinosaurs going extinct in our world and surviving the other, as you mentioned earlier, Heather, and evolving into human-like creatures. It was from an era where the writers, where everyone behind it, the producers, everyone behind it had no idea what the actual appeal of the intellectual property was. So they just made a bunch of rash decisions that they felt made sense and or were interesting on their own, but still kind of like had elements of the intellectual property of the game. And so like there's like the thing about Mario there's nothing in that. There are dinosaur creatures in Mario. And yes, Yoshi has an appearance as again, another gross stop motion lizard like creature. Or slash puppet. I think he might be a puppet, but they have like a fucking nothing about like the Super Mario world is like, oh, there's a lot of dinosaur shit. It's like dinosaurs exist in it, but we don't want to know like like, oh, this is all tied. We're trying to make the presence of dinosaurs in Mario make sense somehow. Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah, this is my first time watching it. I had never seen this movie before. I was aware of it. And so this is one of two movies that I've watched for this show, this and Waterworld, for when we did the Waterworld game episode, right, that both do feature Dennis Hopper as an antagonist. And it is now, and these are the only two movies I've ever seen Dennis Hopper in before. And I understand him to have this like legacy as like a renowned actor. And now I'm just like, right, was this a prank? Was Dennis Hopper a prank? I don't get it. I gotta watch something that he's in that's good. But
Easy Rider, man.
I'll pop on Easy Rider because I want to understand him. He is compelling as a villain. He's very interesting. Yes. He was doing the best he could. But my main takeaway watching this thing was just like, you were saying, nobody making this understood Mario. Like they did 100%. Way too much work to make any of this. They should have just made it like a fun. They just made it fun. None of this is fun.
Yeah, there's nothing fun. It's just gross and dark.
Yeah.
You guys think that it doesn't understand the appeal of Mario. Let me tell you, there was also a version of this movie that audiences didn't understand. And I'm going to pull from the Super Mario Brothers movie.com website again from a 2010 interview where they talked about how much ADR they'd done. Now, ADR is when you take a scene where a character's back is to camera or they are off camera and you put in dialogue that helps explain plot or fills in holes that you have to edit around. And apparently, the post-production supervisor at Super Mario Brothers, the movie, said it was the most ADR looping she'd ever encountered.
Jesus Christ.
It was a struggle to make the story come together even as much as it did. There's an original document on the website that shows all of the ADR that they did, and it includes huge numbers of scenes that didn't make it into the movie. So as they're mastering this film, it was an even longer cut also. So this two-hour Blade Runner version of Super Mario Brothers was probably 2.5 hours
Jesus. Because this movie, how long is it, the runtime now? It's like 1:30 probably or something.
I think it's closer to 1:40. It's not super long, but it was 1:44 is the official runtime.
It's not credits. Super long. Then that means it's the regular Mario Brothers movie. High five. This has been DLC. See you later.
I have this quote from Dennis Hopper describing the film's production that I think is very funny. He goes, it was a nightmare, very honestly, that movie. It was a husband and wife team directing who were both control freaks and wouldn't talk before they made decisions. Anyway, I was supposed to go down there for 5 weeks. I was there for 17.
Jesus Christ. Mario is played by, we mentioned Dennis Hopper, the Mario Brothers, the titular Super Yes. Mario Brothers, who are designated the Super Mario Brothers towards the end of the film. It's like you guys are the Super Mario Brothers for your heroism. The Mario Brothers who have a Mario plumbing business, Mario Brothers plumbing business. Mario is played by Bob Hoskins, hot off of his something of a movie star in the late 80s, early 90s, great actor. Hot off of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which was a big hit, and Hook. So he was cast in this very desirable role. Apparently, I read somewhere that Dustin Hoffman was trying to get cast as Mario because he wanted to impress his kids. So Bob Hoskins is Mario. I believe he's a British actor.
Yes.
And he is doing the most Brooklyn-y. I'm from Brooklyn. Hey, it's me. I'm Benedict Cumberbatch playing a Brooklyn guy. This is where I'm from. You know,
I was down at Canal Street this weekend.
And then all the jokes in the movie are things like, you know, Luigi, who's played by John Leguizamo, who will catch something and be like, hey, I should try out for the Yankees. You know, it's like all just like the most broad Italian stereotype / Brooklyn ripped from Sebastian Maniscalco's act, like comedy. It's very, it's, I mean, and I think that, again, it's just like they don't know the appeal of the Mario Brothers is not that they, it's not that they're these Italian stereotypes. Like, that's an element in the vocal performance, or ended up being an element in the Charles Martinet vocal performance, but it's not really who the characters are.
I think it was, I think there was a lot of influence by the Super Mario Brothers animated show. I think there's no way, because you had Lou Albano.
Lou Albano, yeah.
Yeah, Lou Albano is playing Mario, and he's playing Mario like this. And Luigi is played by another wrestler. And
I don't remember who played Luigi.
And he's talking like this. Hey, Mario, why don't you give me a slice of pizza? I feel like the only... the only introduction that a regular human audience had to the idea that Mario might talk were those two actors. And so they were like, well, the one thing we know for sure is they talk like they're from Brooklyn.
Yeah, for sure. The actor who played Luigi, it looks like Harvey Atkin. And I don't know if he has a wrestling... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Harvey Atkin played King Koopa. Danny Wells played Luigi.
Oh.
And I'm not sure if he has a wrestling pedigree or not.
Ding dong, Danny Wells. Come on, man.
I was trying to do that too. And that makes sense because, like, if that was the only access they had into Mario, I feel like a lot of people, especially at that time, would have been like, "Well, I'm not playing a video game. I'm not. Yes. I could never play a video game. What, you have something else for me to understand? Oh, this cartoon.
Yeah,
right. Also, John Leguizamo plays Luigi, just doesn't have a mustache.
No.
Not if he couldn't grow one or what, but it's just like, there's no mustache on this guy? Are you kidding me? Like, they get the body types right. Mario's a little stockier, Luigi's a string bean, but give him a fucking mustache.
Yeah, that's, and they don't get complaint? Their outfits.
They don't get their outfits till Act 3. They could be the Mario Brothers Plumbing Company, and one of them's wearing red suit, one of them's wearing a green suit.
It just saves so much time.
Yeah.
At what point are we going to talk about the Attack of the Clones-esque bar nightclub that Mario and Luigi find themselves in?
Very strange, where I believe Big Bertha runs the house.
Yeah, she's supposed to be a what do you call it? The spiny that throws all of their costumes in the movie are like, if a human being had spikes on them, what would it look like? And she's got like a red jacket with a bunch of spikes on it because she's supposed to be a spiny, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was trying to remember because I thought maybe I'm wrong. I thought the Big Bertha was that big fish that jumps up, but maybe
she's
that's something
named
else.
Big Bertha, but her costume is a spiny.
Okay. Got it.
Look, I'm not trying to justify their choices.
Why would you? What would
be
the
point
in that?
They go to an adult nightclub bar. And as a kid, that was the scariest scene of the entire film for me.
Yeah.
I'm fine with the Goombas. Like, they're weird looking, but I was like, oh, they got cute little smiles and they dance in an elevator. It was the nightclub where I was like, oh no, Mario and Luigi are in danger. Because if I was in this nightclub, I would be in danger.
Because when you say adult nightclub, like, they go in and it's like an Eyes Wide Shut masked orgy. Like, everyone's just fucking and sucking. Big Bertha's overseeing the proceedings. Mario's like, oh man, I'm getting hotter than Ma's lasagna.
Mario does sort of, because she has the... That what did the fuck it's called?
Daisy has a crystal around her neck.
Yeah.
Yes.
But she has it at that point in the nightclub. And Mario tries to, like, suck it out from between her breasts at one point. I was shocked by this.
Yeah, they have a little kissing scene, and then he swipes it.
In the old mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, fuck. This movie's so fucking bad.
There's so many layers. There's a Mario Kart section, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yoshi, we mentioned, there's Iggy, who's one of the Koopas, the Koopa kids, is presented in human form.
Yeah.
Wait, we've talked about Yoshi?
Yeah, I brought up Yoshi really quickly.
I would like to say that in 1993, the Yoshi puppet is among the most advanced animatronic puppets that existed at the time.
I believe it.
Yoshi was a Jurassic Park style photorealistic, tiny velociraptor-looking thing.
Yes.
And he serves no plot points in the movie.
No.
Like, he just walked. Like, imagine spending at least $3 million on a fucking animatronic puppet, and its job is to walk into a room and somebody goes, "Oh, it's Yoshi."
Yeah, exactly.
I was gonna say, it just doesn't seem like, I mean, because when you're playing Mario the game, I don't know, like, the first Mario, you're not really playing it like, oh man, the story. You're kind of just, you know, going through it or whatever. But the story presented in the game isn't that hard to adapt into a workable movie. So I just don't know
straightforward.
It's so simple. It would be the easiest thing. And I'm just so confused as to how they took so many wrong left turns into trying to make it into this other thing. I was just baffled by it because, I mean, yeah, I had never seen it before. And I watched it and I can't stop thinking about it. I it's not left my brain.
It's like a origami wrapped present where the paper itself, you keep unwrapping forever. Like, you never get to the actual joy of the thing, but you keep being like, how is it possible that in this photorealistic, creepy, crazy Dino Hatton, they also have cartoon bombs that wind up and walk identical to the video game?
They're straight up called the bombs.
Yeah, everything else in the movie, not a one-to-one recreation of something in the game. And then suddenly, somebody pulls out a tiny walking bomb and winds it up, and everybody panics. They look at it, and they scream, ba-bomb.
Yeah.
It's got eyeballs, like cartoon eyeballs on it.
Yeah, it's weird. And then there's so much just plot about their rivalry with the Scarpelli brothers fucking plumbing firms. It's like, what is it? Well, this is a complete invention. It pays off. The lead Scarpelli gets turned into a monkey by the de-evolution ray. I'm trying to figure out how to wrap this up. I think that maybe since we're saying the game was better, maybe we see where we would rank this if this were a game in the Mario franchise. And I would say that I think this goes above Hotel Mario. I think that's probably where it goes. I would rather watch this film again than try to play Hotel Mario.
I would rather watch this movie again than play Mario Sunshine.
Wow, that is a hot take. That is a scorcher.
Because, I mean, Sunshine's real low on my list. I hate the mechanic, and I hate the core water mechanic.
You don't like Flood?
I don't like Flood. I don't like the design of Flood. So Super Mario Brothers, the movie, goes above Mario Sunshine, but Sunshine's really low. Like, it's not like I'm not putting this in the top 10 of Mario games.
Apodaca, let's add Mario Sunshine to the queue because I think this would be a fascinating one to discuss.
I would love to play.
Knowing that Heather hates it.
I would love to play it. I've never played it before.
What the fuck? Wait a minute.
I missed like a whole era.
Weird or bad game. It's bad.
It's weird as shit. It's fucking weird.
They took Mario to give
a water backpack. What was that?
If Mario is a weird game, all games are weird. Like that. We open the door and all of the games are going to come walking out.
Great just point. Apodaca, add every game to the queue. Matt, your verdict. Where do you rank this bad boy?
I mean, yeah, I guess because I have a very basic relationship to Mario, but I know enough about Mario to know that this movie was wrong, but I and bad and you know, upsetting it for many reasons. I feel like we could all make a better Mario movie. They're making a Mario movie right now that apparently is not delayed, from what I understand.
Wow.
But I guess for me, a Mario game that I didn't enjoy would be, what is it called? It's right here. Hold on.
Matt is reaching for his shelf.
He's opening something up. He has a game he hates right next to him. That's one of the pieces of information I'd like to point out about what just happened. He's like, hold on, I hate this game. What's it called?
I have it right next to me.
Right out of frame and grabs it.
Paper surreal. Mario sticker star.
Wow. Yeah, that was what the, you know what they just, we mentioned origami earlier.
Yeah.
And there's that new Paper Mario. Oh, fuck. What's the origami subtitle?
Because as
of this
King?
Recording. Yeah, as of our recording. Thank you, Heather. Paper Mario Origami King has been announced today. And that looks very cool visually. But the thing they did with the Paper Mario series and Superstar Saga, or not Superstar Saga, Sticker
Star.
Sticker Star, yes. I confused it with a Mario and Luigi RPG series. The Sticker Star was one of them. They started to depart from the formula and they got real shitty. So yeah, I think that's good company for it.
Yeah, and you know what? On the Origami King, I'll absolutely buy that. No, even knowing I hated Sticker Star, I'll give it a go.
As long as the combat is like, you know, is like the original Paper Mario and like Thousand Year Door, as long as they've done that and not try to do some got too cute with it, like
yeah,
if like Super Paper Mario and the rest. Hey, be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at GetPlayedPod, or send us an email at GetPlayedPod@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 616-2-PLAYED. That's 616-275-2933. And if you have any recs for How Did This Get Played, premium DLCs, The Game Was Better, any movies you'd like to hear us review,
ooh,
on the premium side, those are the handles you can use to get in touch with us. Hey, we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Until then.
As Mario says, and the podcast is over. I'm just a crowd.